we present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to My Music with its four regular contestants, John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Having introduced you initially to J.A., F.M., I.W. and D.N., this is the moment for S.R. to say that all the featured artists in this first round have the initials B.G. I will demonstrate that on the pianoforte. B.G. initials. John Amos, which B.G. is this?
Balfour Gardner.
No. B.G.
I reckon that might be Benny Goodman playing.
Benny Goodman it is. That's right.
Right. K622.
That was the other mark I was going to ask you, K number. K622. Great. The Mozart Clarinet Concerto, Benny Goodman. Yeah. Frank, still...
Benny Mino Gili.
As I was about to remark before I was interrupted, Frank, still B.G., leaving aside, I was going to say, Bridie Gallagher, Buddy Guy, Betty Garrett and Ben Gazzara, which B.G. is this?
Just outside Delta country, where the bitter weeds grow and wild. Born 7 miles outside of Wood, on the Chickasaw County Jail. Papa done brung us some peppermint candy. Mama fixed a custard pie. Bought her a store-bought doll from Jack's, and she's an apple of everyone's eye.
I don't know much on country music, but I love her records.
No, it's either Benny Green or Billy Graham. Bobby Gentry.
Thank you, yes.
Bobby,
you get the mark. Yes, that's right. Yes.
Knew it was a chap.
Miss Bobby Gentry. Frank, for your other mark, Chickasaw County Child, she was singing. In which state would that be?
Well, Chickasaw? Yes. Arkansas.
Nope.
I know, you're thinking of the pre-war division of boundaries.
Yes, that's right.
Which war?
She was born there, actually, in this state.
Was she?
It's a fine state to be in, actually.
Oh.
Have another go.
Ohio?
No, it's two S's.
South
two
Dakota?
S's, two P's.
No. Separation. Two P's?
Mississippi, actually.
Oh, it's very difficult to spell, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Indeed it is. Anyway, you get one mark out of two. Ian, yours is so easy, that, especially in view of something that happened a minute ago, that I really must complicate it a bit. If this singer, B.G., were to sing a number from Balalaika or Old Chelsea, I'm going to ask you, what would be the double B.G. involved?
Non li ricordo più quegli occhi belli, pieni di luce con quell'infinito. Mi son dimenticato i tuoi capelli e la boccuccia che era la mia vita.
Yes, B.G., the singer.
It's a little too masculine for Bernadette Grevy, so I think it's Gigli.
Yes.
Beniamino Gigli.
Beniamino Gigli, yes, Gigli.
You had a supplementary.
Yes,
I didn't really pay attention to that.
Another B.G., who the composer of Balalaika and Old Chelsea. Scores.
Bernard Grun.
Bernard Grun, yes, that's right. Very nice man, wrote some lovely music. Dennis, which B.G. is this, and what is his connection with someone we've already heard in this programme?
That's why the lady. That's why the lady. That's why the lady is a tramp. Tramp.
Well, I was sitting here hugging the Betty Grable thought. and you crossed me up. No, it's Buddy Greco.
Yeah.
Connects with somebody we've already heard.
Yes.
Well, Frank's got a record of him. Would that...
That's very ingenious. No, not quite do.
Well, wouldn't when we... Benny Goodman came over to the Palladium,
that's right.
Just when was it? Just before 1950.
Oh, 19...
Round about then. Yeah. Buddy Greco was the singer with the band.
It's
with
his pianist. It was his pianist and arranger and singer. Yes, and that gets you two lovely big marks. Right. Mm. In this next round, the question is who or what, and the answer is rather more complicated. John, who died forbidding any composer to write a requiem in his memory but requesting 100 masses to be said by members of the Capuchin order?
Ah, it's not old Meyerbeer, was it?
No, no, a performer.
A performer.
Shall I give you a very, very difficult hint?
Yes, Paganini.
Yes. And you know what I was going to play, don't you? Yes. And so on. Yes.
He found it very difficult to get buried, didn't he?
Signor Paganini.
Because people had taken his publicity serious that he was in league with the devil, and a lot of places refused to bury him. And I think he died in the middle of a heat wave, too.
Apropos people with Italian names, I want to give you a little a couplet, or is it a quadruplet or something, from our old friend Beachcomber, who once wrote, "Signor Scampi, as he sawed his violin in half, made all the lowbrows in the audience laugh. The highbrows, hating this ill-mannered din, cried, 'Woodman, woodman, spare that violin.'" Frank, question for you. Who silenced a foreign military band with the immortal but very effective words, "Nix boom boom"? Quite one of my favourite pieces of history, this is.
Lovely name for striptease artist. It'd be Nix Boom Boom. Boom. And now,
and now it's sort of go-go, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
The go-go dancer.
Would you like to find out for a mark? I think
I'm not going to get this.
No,
you just want to bring out this marvellous answer, don't you? Well, come on, let's have it.
It's lovely. Queen Victoria was on a state visit, I think, to Paris. A French military band insisted on playing under her room, and John Brown went out into them and said, "Nix Boom Boom." As one would address foreigners, you know, in their own country. And and they all stopped.
My friend Mr. Wallace knew that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of part of Scottish folklore.
Yeah. Yes, there we are. Right.
I mean, it was always pronounced "next boom boom."
Well, your question is part of English folklore. That's the way cookies crumble, isn't it? Ian, according to Sir Thomas Beecham, what did Delius once say after attending a recital of his own songs?
Good gracious.
He was commenting on somebody.
I think he probably said he was a man of... expressed himself very succinctly, came from Yorkshire, originally German parentage. I think he probably said, "Well, it wasn't bad, but I think next time I'll book Frank Sinatra."
It's a fair guess, isn't it?
It must have been derogatory, or Sir Thomas wouldn't have bothered with it.
And I wouldn't be quoting it. John, do you happen to know?
No, if he'd apostrophised himself in the mirror, he might have said, "Oh, Fred, tell them to stop."
Yeah, that was Beecham. No, what Delia said after hearing, I think, a baritone sing one of his own songs, he said, "Admirable, but what language was he singing in?" Which is an object lesson to all singers, is it not?
Who said it of what? There was a composer, I think a continental lad, who was at a school of music, and presented his composition to his tutor, and his tutor looked at them, his compositions, and put them down and thought for a moment and said, "These compositions will be remembered when the music of Mozart, Mendelssohn, and Beethoven are forgotten. And not before."
That was a very nice thing to add to our store, yes. I don't give Ian a mark, though, do I? Dennis, who joined the French Foreign Legion and while serving with them wrote a song called "An Old-Fashioned Garden"? And I bet he got it hot in the mission hut.
Is it my... field of composers,
of course, yes.
Well, the only one that I know who joined the French Foreign Legion was Cole Porter, who took his zither with him. And in that lovely book they got up of his lyrics, there's a nice story about, because he went to France before that with some relief mission and decided to join the French Foreign Legion. So he went into the office in Paris and said, "I come for a medical for the French Foreign Legion, and they said, right, get on that scale. He got on the scale. They said, have you been on the scale? He said, yes. He said, well, all right, you're in. They didn't even check what he weighed or anything.
Yeah. Cole Porter joined the French Foreign
Legion. I don't know what...
He wrote a song called An Old-Fashioned Garden. It was in the show Hitchy-Coo of 1919, and it was his first hit. One might say perhaps his first modest hit. Well, you got the answer because it was Cole Porter, didn't you? Good. Eight tunes coming up on my piano. Oh. All of them folk, beginning with the letter B. B for Billy Boy or Burlington Bertie, or B for Booth Led Boldly with His Big Bass Drum, which is by Charles Ives, and I wanted to get it in, but it won't be in the medley. Right, I'll be asking John and Frank to name the first four tunes beginning with B, and Ian and Dennis the second four tunes beginning with B. Now, the first four. Get the first one, John?
Yes, sir.
By Chopin, yes. Second one?
Baccarol.
Well,
Baccarol.
Baccarol, yes.
Baccarol.
Then.
Da
da da da da da da.
Body and soul.
Thank you. And the fourth one? Little tricky, because it came from the middle.
It wasn't this, she was my mama now.
No, that came later. You've given one to Ian.
Was it the Rhapsody in Blue?
In that vine-covered cottage on the hill.
That doesn't help.
Your face was a hymn that lingers still.
And then you remind me of when Beecham used to come down.
Bless you for being an angel.
Yes, but I gave you too much hint, didn't I? Yes. You've got 1.5 out of 2. John, you wanted to say something.
I was only going to say that Beecham used to say that he had...
Beecham!
Four singing notes in his voice. All around middle C, none of them actually were.
Nice to hear something self-denigratory from Sir Thomas. Yeah. 1.5 out of 2. The other four songs, Ian and Dennis. You've got the first
one. She was my woman
Thank
now.
Thank you, right. Yes.
By the fireside.
By the fireside. Nice old
By
tune.
The fireside, yeah.
And then...
A Touch of the Guy Dardelots.
Yes,
because.
Because, yes. Try another last one.
Bye Bye Blackbird.
2 out of 2. Good. Let's move on. This round concerns orchestral scores. John, looking at a page of full score, say a symphony, in what order, reading down, do the various sections appear? Reading
well, down which century are you talking about?
Well, a sort of standard 19th century... Yes. A standard 19th century type score as published now in miniature
well,
score.
Well, first you would have the wind.
Pardon?
First you would have the wind.
Yes. Yes.
Then you would have the brass.
Yes.
Then the percussion.
Yes.
And then the strings.
Yes, that's a very fair answer. Gets you a mark. Quarter
but,
of a mark each.
In the other centuries, it's all different.
Yes, well, we won't go into that, will we? Frank, on the first page of an orchestral score, you often see the word fag.
What?
What does it signify?
It signifies that the instrumentalist who's sitting in front of that has... about 14 bars rest when he can light up and have a quick drag.
Yes.
yes.
It's bassoon.
And the other answer is yes, bassoon. Let us, in fact, hear a little drop of bassoon music. With his other hand, he was lighting up.
Yeah. You know, that bit of Scheherazade. I've been reading Peter Ustinov's book recently, and he says when he was at school, there was a general knowledge paper, and they said, name one Russian composer. And the correct answer was Tchaikovsky. And he was told off in front of the whole school because he put Rimsky-Korsakov for showing off.
That was splendid, yes. On with the subject of scores. Ian, I see the word corny on a score, C-O-R-N-I. What does that mean, please?
Well, it means the horns.
Yes, the horns. And here are some horns. From Coppelia. Has anybody on this show ever told the story about Dame Ethel Smythe and the horn part?
About to.
May I? Because it's rather sweet. Dame Ethel Smythe, a strange, wondrous old character, conducting a new composition of hers, and she addressed the audience before the performance. She said, now, very interesting, we have a very fine horn player, Mr. Aubrey Brain here, and at one point I've written for him two notes to be sounded simultaneously, and it's a very effective bit, and at that point I'll turn round and I will warn you that that's the special moment. So she conducted this work, and at the moment when the two notes were being sounded simultaneously, she whipped round to the audience and went, extending this V sign to the audience, and nobody ever able to explain to her why the audience should laugh at that particular point.
What I think is rather nice about horns, corni, which also are the symbol of cuckoldom, is that Verdi, at least twice in his operas, has used those particular instruments when somebody has in fact been cuckolded.
Oh, yes.
No reference to it. Yes. I mean, Ford in Falstaff, and in fact King Philip in Don Carlos. Sort of in joke, you might say.
Anyway,
Frank was absolutely spot on when he said about fag, and because there's a story about Sir Thomas asking for a certain player who wasn't performing very well to bring his orchestral part over because he wanted to make sure that there wasn't a mistake on it. And he looked at this and he said, "What does this mean? 120 bars rest, time for a pint?" Written on the parts.
Yes. Well, we were hearing horns, corny. That word, corny, Dennis, slang word meaning, in our world, if you like, old-fashioned or hackneyed. What do you think its origin might have been? Corny.
Well, I had to go into this, actually, some time ago.
Didn't know that.
And I don't think that anybody's quite decided, but the most interesting theory, and the one that I was inclined to go along with, was it came from the corner man in a minstrel show who used to get landed with the most pernicious and ancient jokes. Remember, he used to say, Mr. Bones, I have a riddle, sir.
Yeah.
So that the corner man's jokes were the ones that everybody tried to avoid because they were the oldest. Corny. And therefore, it was then diminished into corny.
Well,
I wouldn't be certain of it.
The jazz world, I can remember when the word wasn't corny. The word was corn-fed, meaning a hick, a hayseed.
Yeah,
You know, sure. I think that would probably be it. Certainly back in the 1920s, Red Nichols and His Five Pennies recorded a rather nice jizzy sort of tune called Corn-Fed. Here it is. Good players, weren't they? Good players of their instruments in those days. 1929. You can gain a mark by giving the song lyric answer to the next question. You could lose it again by singing instead of saying the answer. John, an old trap question this. What colour is John Peel's coat?
Ian is feeling his coat now, and his coat is grey.
We've got a mark. Right, Frank, who are like a pack of angry wolves on the trail?
The Royal Mounted Police of Canada.
In a well-known musical comedy called...
Rosemary.
Yeah. Ian, when the Mounties finally corner you, what should you do?
This is a reference to a song in Rosemary, presumably.
Yes, the song is...
Throw down your gun.
You've got it, that's it. Son, you are done. Throw your gun, throw your gun away.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Dennis, who had rubies, pearls and girls but didn't know how to do the rumba?
Maharaja of Magadore.
Magadore. The song was Magadore, the rich Maharaja of Magadore.
We might have said that Dennis sung that, except one can never say that Dennis sang.
We'll find out now, because we come to the...
You did, actually.
Yes, I did see it, I admit.
Yes.
I admit
it. Oh, you did. You don't get the mark. Now to the party pieces, the four final songs. The first is about Bible reading. The second is about being unworldly. The third is about taking the rain philosophically. That's yours, Dennis. And the fourth is pure nostalgia, a song, just a song, at twilight. John, tell us about the things that you're liable to read in the Bible.
Liable to read in the Bible.
Viable, that's right. I'll give you a vamp till...
All right.
It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. David was small but oh my, he fought big Goliath who lay down and died. Little David was small but oh my. I'm preaching this sermon to show that it ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't necessarily so.
Frank, let the rest of the world go by, and let the rest of the...
It's a song you hear a lot in pubs, particularly about 5 minutes after closing time. Come along now, ladies and gentlemen. Act of Parliament, come on. It's rather a touching story of a cowhand and his deep affection for his fellow cowhand. With some... One like you, a pal, good and true, I'd like to leave it all behind and try to find a place somewhere known to God alone, just somewhere to be our own. We'll have perfect peace where joys never cease, somewhere beneath a kindly sky. We'll build a sweet little nest out there in the west, and let the rest of the world go bye-bye.
I used to like that song.
did you really?
Oh, yes, really. I really did. Yes, I really did, yes.
Hand on pedal foot.
Song, yes. Dennis, song about washing the car when it looks like rain.
Yeah. I tell you what, let's belt through this, because I really don't know the tune.
Yes.
And I've got an idea to come out like painting the clouds with sunshine. When dear old Auntie Paul gets out her parasol, I'm always...
Thank you.
It always starts to... Gets out her parasol, it always starts to rain. A nice clean car is fine, But when I polish mine, it always starts to rain. So I sing, rain, rain, go away, come again another day, but it's all in vain. No matter where I go, if it don't hail or snow, it always starts to rain. Oh, isn't it? Yes, well, it's a prop. Yes.
Yes. And Ian, just the song at twilight. If I can get a key, yes.
Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low and the flickering shadows softly come and go. Though the heart be weary, sad the day and long, still to us at twilight comes love's old song, comes love's old sweet song.
And that's all for this week. Just a modest victory for... See now, who is it? Oh, yes. Ian and Dennis. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.